You are listening to episode number 179 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Now with 100% less taser.
Dubstep. Dubstep is everything. Dubstep is life. Dubstep is the greatest thing that's ever
been. Too many Christmas.
Could have at least tolerated you waiting until Taser got back to
I wanted to look. Okay, well, I apologize for like an episode. Before we get into it, I want to apologize for like an episode. The recording program I used decided to not export the program, export the recording. So, yeah, I apologize. But so we're back. We would have been back last week, but. Oh, them's the drops. Speaking of which, joining us is MC Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back.
I hate dubstep.
And joining us is some rapper named Jonathan from Oklahoma City.
And I'm from Stillwater. Difference. And I'm twerking as we speak, so let's just go with that.
Oh, I could not keep that mental image.
Get that in. That's not
okay, right. And then here's my joke. What's the difference between Paul Walker and a Whopper.
Jesus. One's is it not, that they're both flame-broiled?
One's not flame-broiled. God damn it. All right, Danny. Paul Walker jokes aside, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a Marvel podcast dedicated to all things Marvel-related. So let's not waste any time. Let's not waste any birds. Let's do this. Brian, you, after months of me talking about Ultron this, Ultron that, Apocalypse this, Apocalypse that, my heroes are being emulated on the screen, and of course, you know, a certain magic user, which we'll talk about in a bit, has officially been confirmed for a movie. You, on the other hand, have been lamenting since what, 2009?
About there, give or take, yeah.
2009 since, actually before then. No, since 2009, since the atrocious that was called Barakapool, which no longer exists in continuity. But it looks like I want to say that thanks to the X-Men reboot, that hope may have sprung eternal for you.
Indeed, hope is alive. All will be well because they've slated a Deadpool solo flick for 2016. Ooh. Yes, specifically February 12th, 2016. Oddly specific, with Tim Miller set to direct, and Ryan Reynolds, though not officially locked down yet to star in such a film, it's more than likely he will sign off, if he loves the character as much as he claims to.
He better, because I can see him being Deadpool more than anybody else.
I can see him being Deadpool all over everyone's face, neck, and chest, but that is it's just so good. Like, I cannot wait for this to happen, if it actually does happen, because let's face it, we've had false hope before. So.
Oh, yeah, we've heard all about it. Wasn't Robert Rodriguez supposed to direct Deadpool at one point?
He was linked at one point. I think the guys from Zombieland were linked at one point. It's been quite a roller coaster ride. Ryan Reynolds has been on and off and on and off, given that he worked for DC for a little while in that horrible adaptation of Green Lantern. But I suppose that's either here nor there. But, I suppose it can really be said that the leaked test footage, which if you haven't seen it, it does exist. Go find it.
I saw it. It was funny as hell.
I guess it created a fair bit of buzz because now studio's back up again, and they gave us a definitive date that we can expect to see a Deadpool movie. So I am excited, man, although there was a rumor leak earlier today that they might be shooting for a PG-13 rating.
They're not going to do a rated R movie, man.
That's no bueno, but you know what? I will take what I can get at this point. And that's not me being, you know, needy. It is me being needy.
You just want the damn movie out already.
Yep.
Well, not at the expense of Deadpool and just, you know, how amazing
he can be. Look, all
you
need to do is just say Chimichanga's $1 million. There you go.
You know, it's a little more complicated than
the audience. Okay, another $1 million. There you go.
Oh, for God's sakes!
I should be writing the Deadpool screenplay.
Really? You know what? You don't even know what you're talking about, okay? That being said, I will say that that's a bit of a crunch to get the movie out, at least in my opinion. Despite, you know,
considering we don't have a cast at all.
We don't have a cast. I don't think there's a solid writer linked anymore. Although, like, granted, I could be wrong. And
then again, Ant-Man is coming out next year. So
yeah. And again, not for nothing, but this Tim Miller fellow who's set to direct, he didn't have a whole lot of experience behind him, at least in nothing substantial. The biggest name I found on his IMDb has been two creative credits, one for creative supervisor on Scott Pilgrim and one for creative director on The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, but only for the title sequence of said movie. So
wow, that was a good title sequence,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I actually did like that. You know, if give credit to the guy who did that.
Not for nothing, but his filmography is a little bare bones. So, you know, he's only really directed two short projects. So I don't know what to take away from this just yet. I'm cautiously optimistic. I've used that before, but it's really how I should feel going into every movie. But, you know, Deadpool fans have been on sort of a treadmill ever since 2009 when they first came down with news. Hey, Deadpool did good. He was the first few minutes of Wade Wilson were probably the most enjoyable part of X-Men Origins Wolverine in throughout the whole movie, dare I say.
Well, it was supposed to be Wade Wilson, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to be like Wade Wilson before he got all fucked up and shit. So
became Baraka-pool.
Well, I mean, like more in the mainline continuity where he gets experimented on because he has cancer.
Weapon X person as well?
Yeah, he was deemed a failure. He had incurable cancer, and they decided to use him for experiments. Ended up giving him the healing factor that he has, but it also ended up scarring him horrifically, as well as his mind, which...
I don't even know how that works, but whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't even think he knows how it really works, because he never had a definitive origin there for a long while, but...
Really?
Well, yeah, he was shrouded in mystery. He's actually a lot like Wolverine in that respect, where he wasn't really given much of a backstory until... fairly recently, maybe like the last decade or so. I can't remember exactly what it was, but...
He also didn't become Deadpool that we know and love till about the last decade.
Yeah, yeah, that's more a byproduct of Daniel Way on the title. I will say that Joe Kelly did some fantastic...
I was going to say, Joe Kelly did a lot of that, so...
He is the adoptive father.
Daniel Way's kind of like the fun, wacky uncle who shows up once a month to take you out and, you know, you fuck around with him for a little while and then it's just kind of he drops you back off at home. He did some fun stuff with the character, and I go into this in an argument with Spider-Lantern on Facebook. I was talking with him. And we both agree that the title wasn't all in all bad, but Deadpool of Daniel Way, when compared to Deadpool of Joe Kelly, is slightly dumber and more prone to just sort of mad cat wacky antics and whatnot, you know. I feel like the Joe Kelly, is it Joe Kelly or Jim Kelly? I'm spacing.
Joe Kelly.
Thank you, Joe Kelly. His Deadpool was a tad more methodical while still being, you know, still having that comedic edge to him. So I think the Deadpool everyone thinks they know is the one that we'll probably end up getting, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, depending on how they handle it, but, you know, this whole roster set up with Tim Miller and maybe Ryan Reynolds doesn't really instill me a bunch of confidence yet. Like, it's a popular mantra, I'll wait until I see a trailer, and that's really what I have to stand by at the moment. I'll wait until I see a trailer, because while I am loving the fact that there's apparently a new fire lit under someone's ass to get a Deadpool movie made, the fact that there's no star, a rookie director, and no clear writer or script they're drawing from doesn't instill me with the utmost confidence at this project will be coming out anytime in 2016. So while I do hope it does someday see the light of day, I'm not in a rush as long as I get it right, but I have no hope this will come out in 2016. So
Okay. One, if it does come out in 2016, it's a February release date. That's dangerous right there, because that February is notoriously known for let's put it out in February because we know it's a shitty movie and it won't make money anywhere else. Now, granted, they could change. They could always move the date. But February is considered the graveyard for new movies. You know, you don't see big Ghost. Okay, Ghost Rider came out in February. And the only reason it even made money is because there was nothing else out. And it was something interesting to look at. So the fact that it's PG-13, I think while it won't have like the violence, the super intense violence, which I think Deadpool fans would appreciate, I think you can get a lot of way of push to humor a lot with PG-13, especially PG-13 now. You know, maybe not raunchy South Park stuff, but I think you can get away with some things, like him sitting in a chair full of C4 explosives. You know, I think it could be a cartoon. I think it'd be a fun real life cartoon. I think they should do with Deadpool, just sort of like a real life cartoon. Just have him do zany shit. You know, don't even take the story seriously. Don't take it seriously. He's not a character meant to be taken seriously. Just make it a fun comedy action movie, and boom, you got it.
I agree. Because it is going to be kind of handicapped by the rated R. But like you said, it's going to be a Marvel character, and Disney's not going to do a R-rated Marvel movie unless it's potentially, like Punisher, which they know they'd have to do to give justice to. Again, the whole February thing, yeah, I agree, that's going to be... But you never know. You know, just got to go and see what happens. I mean, as long as they get Ryan Reynolds to be on it, I'll be like, hallelujah. Been waiting to see him do it. So that's about pretty much all I can say. And if they can even do as good as the test footage was that I saw, oh my God, that'll be hilarious and fun to watch. And I'm not the biggest Deadpool fan, so... You know, it depends on what he's in, what they do with him. I like him in a lot of stuff, and there are some things where I'm just like, okay, if you're going to have Spider-Man with guns, there you go. Go on. But we'll just have to see, and I have higher hopes for it than the new Fantastic Four reboot, so we'll just go with that.
All right, well...
Fair enough, yeah. This isn't even off the ground yet, and I'll agree with that.
This is becoming... 2016 is becoming a crowded movie year. It looks like.
Yeah.
It.
Oh, that's a segue. Ha! Ben, you're so clever. How'd you get so clever, Ben?
I didn't even do that because I don't know what I'm doing half the time.
I would explain a lot.
So, yeah, 2016 is going to be a hell of a year. Deadpool in February and Doctor Strange in July.
You forgot about Captain America 3.
Well, yeah, that too. In May. So there's a little bit of a birth there. But, yeah. July 8th, 2016, Doctor Strange poofs into theaters everywhere, magically.
Good Lord, that's going to be a solid 2 years of money going out of the wallet.
Okay.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay. I feel my wallet getting lighter already.
I'm already in line. I am doing this live from random movie theater in Austin, Texas.
You're one of those Apple product douchebags sitting outside camping.
I'm doing it before it was cool.
Whoa.
I'm going to be that guy. I liked Doctor Strange before it was cool, you know? I'm not gonna be that guy. I'm like, you love Doctor Strange too? Awesome. Okay, look, I'm very excited. Is it Joaquin Phoenix? Do we know it's him?
Because he's still in talks for the lead, so nothing's been confirmed or denied yet.
And this isn't just me settling. I love Joaquin Phoenix as an actor. I feel like he could deliver that sort of dickish quality of Doctor Strange, or just absurd quirkiness of him. Because let's face it, Joaquin's pretty quirky in his own real life. So,
he's crazy. He faked quitting acting to start a rap career, and then he came back to acting, and shit got crazy there for a little while. So
I feel like
he's crazy.
I feel like he could do a good job, but July 8th, 2016 cannot come sooner enough. One of my favorite Marvel heroes, finally a movie that I never thought would get made, is officially getting made, and it's not an origin story from what I understand. It's going to be just him as the Doctor, as the
Sorcerer Supreme. I've heard it compared to in The Incredible Hulk, you know?
Also, we'll get it like in like a flashback at the beginning, and then boom, we're on our way.
Sort of, yeah. There's a little bit of a dust-up about, hey, this happened, and poof, all of a sudden he's Sorcerer Supreme, and he's just magicking shit up all over the place, all over Facebook.
I hope we do get flashbacks to the Ancient One and the mountains, because I would still love to see that, don't get me wrong. But I do kind of like they should get
Tim Miller to direct that opening sequence and just have him tell his origin story.
That'd be pretty funny. And
the Ancient One had better be an old Asian guy. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, hey, Kim, what's his face from Godzilla?
Everybody says Ken Watanabe.
Actually, I would
he's an easy pick.
I would
he
like
was
to see,
Ra's al Ghul's stunt double.
Yeah, no shit.
Spoilers, by the way, in case you've never seen Batman Begins.
I'm trying to remember the guy's name. He was, you know, if you remember seeing Big Trouble in Little China, you know.
Isn't he dead?
No, he's still alive. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, the guy who paid Lin Pao or whatever.
Yeah, he's still alive. He did the voice of Jack Black's father in Kung Fu Panda, the goose.
Oh yeah. I think
I could see him as the Ancient One, considering he is an Ancient One, but he's also a really good actor.
Yeah,
and he could pull it off.
I wonder. Wait a minute, what's his name?
I can't remember the name for the life of me off the top of my head.
His name is not Lin Pao. That's the character.
You said he played the father of who was it?
Of Jack Black's character in Kung Fu Panda. He also played
Hong. That's who that is.
Who?
I think James Hong.
Yes, that sounds right.
James Hong. I would buy James Hong as the Ancient One.
He was the wise mentor figure in Balls of Fury? Yeah, that's the one.
He was also in the wise
mentor.
He was
the blind one, wasn't he? Wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
He was also the wise guiding force in Revenge of the Nerds too. He was Edgar Poe Wang.
You know what? Now that you have me thinking about Balls of Fury, I can only imagine Christopher Walken as the Ancient One now.
Oh no! Terry Crews pop dancing?
Magic. See, you gotta use the magic. I can't do. If you can, you do Christopher Walken. I don't know anybody here who can do Christopher Walken joke.
No, I can't do. I can't do. I barely can do Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage, so I'm not even gonna try.
You gotta use magic, or as the ancient elders call it, ping pong. I don't know.
Christopher Walken for I'm officially calling for Christopher Walken for the.
But then that would make Terry. That would definitely make Terry Crews Luke Cage then, because he was in there too.
Yeah. they're just bringing all those guys over. So I'm very excited. I can't wait to see who else. I can't wait to see if they had Clea or Night Nurse or Wong. Definitely has to. Wong has to be in it. Okay. I'm sorry. Wong has to be in the movie. It's his sidekick, man. Not sidekick. It's his partner, okay? It's his partner. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Just because I hope to make Wong a woman. And I said it.
Oh, jeez.
Well, actually, no. That could be sexist, because technically Wong is his butler in a way.
Lucy Liu for Wong!
I wouldn't. I'm just saying, because in most recent stuff, Wong and Steven's relationship is more like brothers-in-arms and partners versus a master-servant relationship. They've changed that relationship quite a bit, so they'll probably go with they won't go with he's his master. They won't do that shit.
No,
you know, Steven will probably, like, Wong may act like it because he's the Sorcerer's fucking supreme.
You know what, as much as I dislike the movie itself, they should get the kid who played Kato in that horrible Green Hornet reboot. What's his name?
Yeah, he was about the only good thing about that.
Jay Chou, that was it.
He could be Wong.
I would see him as Wong. Just shave his head, and he'll be like little man.
Not even that. I mean, Wong. I don't think Wong needs to be bald. As long as you know who he is, and you says his name.
Yeah.
I mean, there was an animated Doctor Strange movie, which I don't know if we ever saw.
I saw it.
And Wong had hair, so.
That was weird, though. That weirded me out.
Not me. I don't. Maybe that's why. But either way. Let us know in the comments if you are cool and into a Doctor Strange movie, and what you think. Last piece of news, B-Rai.
Right, so from the Sorcerer Supreme to the strongest there is, we have a bit of Hulk news coming down the pipeline as of last week, which you didn't get to hear, but are getting to hear now because we're revisiting it. So, yay, I guess. Okay. So, there's a little book on stands called Savage Hulk, and they're planning a special story arc by none other than Marvel's sort of infinity architect, Jim Starlin. And the center of the book revolves around Hulk, and if you know anything about Jim Starlin, you know he primarily works with Thanos. So, what do you get when you mix Starlin and the Savage Hulk title? Well, you get Hulk versus Thanos, people. That's right. Uh-huh. Written by Jim Starlin himself, although not quite sure if he's doing the artwork. It's going to be dropping some point later this year. Let's see. It's going to pretty much just be the two slugging each other, you know, going down like a real brawl. It's going to be a tough thing to see, but it's written by Jim Starlin, which I think is the real headline grabber here, that Jim Starlin's going to be writing not only Thanos, but he'll be writing Thanos battling the Hulk, which it's going to be big, you know?
Uh-huh.
According to press release, the story's going to be self-contained. It is a part of the tale begun at Thanos Annual and the Infinity Revelation. Story takes place before Infinity Revelation. So, yeah. Continuity.
Yeah.
Going to feature appearances by Pip the Troll, Annihilus, Iron Man, and certain members of S.H.I.E.L.D., quote-unquote, spanning Earth, Starlin's Bar, and the Negative Zone. So this is just Jim Starlin tearing shit up with having... I think he's just having fun at this point, but this is going to be good. Like, I am excited for this. And on the flip side of things, from printed word to multimedia, you who didn't hear last week's episode probably don't know that Ben doesn't really like Lou Ferrigno. At least not...
Really?
I've had bad run-ins with him, okay? And you know what? He can... You know what? He has an attitude problem, okay? You know what? He has an attitude problem. There you go.
I'm sure he didn't hear about it. But
God. We're getting back to these fucking jokes. Anyway.
Hey, why not?
Yeah, hey, somebody's going to hear him.
Yeah, he's a douche. He is a big douche. I will agree with that. I've not met the man personally, but I know.
Why are you saying that about me? No.
It's incredible.
Lou Ferrigno has been boasting that not only is there a new Marvel Hulk movie in the works, but they're still planning that long, elusive TV series as well, which has been developing for a few years now, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I think at one point Guillermo del Toro was attached, and yeah, it's been crazy. And people have gone on record saying there's no interest in a Hulk movie at the given time, because let's face it, the Hulk franchise, as it stands, has not had the best of luck with either A, keeping its story, or B, keeping its cast. So I can understand why people would be hesitant to throw Hulk a bone, but... You know, I think if Ant-Man gets a chance, Hulk should get at least a second, third chance, or whatever the hell it is.
I agree. But,
yeah, so, yeah, that's really what we got in store for the Hulk. We got him versus Thanos coming later this year, and then we're also going to have, hopefully, a new Hulk movie and a new TV series as well. So, yeah, like I said...
Is Jim Starlin writing and drawing that story, or is he just writing?
He's writing. There's no confirmation whether or not he'll be drawing the book itself. Although the pages, admittedly, I don't have the best eye for his artwork. They include some pages, but I don't think that's his artwork. But okay. I could be wrong. I'll be the first to admit that. Maybe they'll drag Ron Lim out of whatever hole he's hiding under.
Oh, like, yeah, hey,
he's still out there. I mean, he still draws.
Oh, sure, probably... he draws.
I'd be cool to see Ron Lim draw again.
Yeah, same here. He was one of my favorite Infinity artists.
Yeah, I read through, I don't know, yeah, Ben, not Ben, John knows. I read through Thanos, some of Thanos, the Infinity stuff, and I gotta say, the artwork of Thanos Quest alone was enough to cement me like, you know what, this is some damn good art.
Yeah, but, read it, see his work in Silver Surfer. It was pretty damn good. So,
but if they drag Ron Lim into it, I'll be the first to line up on the stands and be like, hey, give me that, because, yeah. As for a new Hulk movie, I'm dying to see it. Of course, they lost their leader, no pun intended. Maybe they'll bring back Tim Roth as the Abomination. That'd be cool. Maybe they'll go in an entirely different direction. But I'd love to see Hulk get another shot at a movie, especially considering Mark Ruffalo did a commendable job of filling the shoes without actually having a whole movie devoted to him and his characterization of the character. So, you know.
Yeah, I really like him in Avengers. I think he would do really well in a solo film. But it depends on who they get to write and direct it, so we'd have to just go from there.
They'll just get Joss Whedon to do it. I'm sure he'll be.
I was of the mind. I actually preferred Edward Norton, but I'm in the minority. It sounds like so.
Norton was okay, but I got to where I was like, I want to see this movie not have any nods to the friggin' show, and I'm not saying anything bad about the show because I grew up watching that, and it's a hard act to follow in a lot of ways. That's why I'm like, just like anything that they do with Superman, don't bring in
they didn't do any of that with Man of Steel, and people fucking hated the movie.
I know. Well, that's just because people are idiots. But they also screwed up Man of Steel, but that's a whole other podcast. Yeah. But I think that if they could do, especially since a lot of people really, really liked Ruffalo in Avengers, if they get the, you know, even if they got Whedon to do it, that would be cool. I think Hulk would have a good chance of having a good movie. But like I said, it would have to be a wait and see and who they got to be on there. So just like anything else, just guys, a wait and see and hope to God they don't fuck it up like the Fantastic Four reboot. And yes, I'm trashing that movie before it even comes out, and I'm going to keep trashing it. But that's just me.
All right. Let's see. I would hope. I would love to see Hulk movie. I would have loved to have seen the leader, but I doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Or if they do, they'll just recast every. They'll just recast the leader. You know. But you know, I would like. Starlin drawing Hulk is great. Riding Thanos against the Hulk. You know, so I think it'd be good. I want another Hulk movie because I enjoyed Incredible Hulk. I love that movie. It was really good. I think it's the most underrated out of all the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
From like a good like I would rather watch Incredible Hulk over Iron Man 2 any day.
Yeah, I have to agree with that because it was good, but it had some major problems. So, and the Hulk one was better.
All right. So, anything else to say before we move on, dudes?
I don't think so.
Hulk smash Thanos, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, Thanos is probably going to kick his ass.
I'm sure he'll get in a few slaps.
Excuse me, sorry.
All right. So let's move on from news. That's our news. Let us know what you liked, disliked. And, of course, me and Brian are happy for Doctor Strange and Deadpool. 2016, baby. It's going to be our year. All you need
2016.
All you need
is the year of the Merc with the magic. Yeah, I just combined Merc, those titles. Big whoa.
What is this? Amalgam Comics now? Or as Brian likes to say, Amalgam.
Oh fuck you! You still remember that?
Oh hell yeah, I do. Every time there I see the word. So let's go on to individual reviews. And guys, I know officially the title called Axis hasn't really happened, but. As I reviewed Captain America a couple weeks ago, and I don't read Magneto. Axis is fully underway. Red Skull has already built his concentration camps. Yes, they are actual concentration camps for mutants surrounded by his S-Men. Yes.
Oh, and the Jewish people. There's Jewish people in those camps, man.
Here, I'm going to tell a very bad joke. They say strength in numbers. Tell that to 6 million Jews.
That's awful.
That is awful. I read that off of Poet's Image. So,
how many Jews can fit in a station wagon?
16 million.
Two in the front, two in the back, one in the trunk, 4 million in the ashtray.
God damn it. God damn it. Okay.
Oh, so, we're going to hell, people. We're going there funny all the way.
It's awful. Okay. So, and interesting enough, Brian, did you read this issue as well, right?
Yes, I did.
What the hell happened to Salvador La Roca?
I have no fucking idea.
His style has completely changed from Iron Man. It's barely the same guy. For the better.
I took one look at the book, right? And I'm like, oh, La Roca's in the book. Well, better than the artist they had last issue, so I guess I'll pick it up, right?
I'm
reading through it. Literally, I get halfway through the book. I'm like, wait a second. Who's doing the art on this book again? I look back. I'm like, holy shit, La Roca? What? Like, it was crazy.
By the way,
I mean, the Charlie Xavier sequence alone was holy shit.
Yeah, that was disturbing as fuck. Speaking of horrific designs, Havoc is basically Two-Face.
Yeah.
Look how he draws him with the lip and everything. He's basically Two-Face.
I got a Jonah Hex vibe from it, but that works too.
I guess, but he's basically, and that's because of the cosmic radiation and they aren't able to heal.
Yeah.
Like, just wear your fucking mask. Also, this is kind of like a continuity explain point because you don't see Cap anywhere, so Cap is presumably dealing with other things.
Yeah, they finally caught up with that in Avengers. They finally, well, they time skipped a bit, so, you know. But yeah, Cap's old now in the comic books, so, yeah.
So, yeah, so, and also this shows, like, right before the death of Wolverine because Wolverine leaves, so he's not going to be here anymore and wearing that stupid fucking uniform. I'm sorry. I don't like this uniform. And Rogue gets attacked by the S-Men, as we saw in the opening arc of Uncanny Avengers, and she's woken up by the most Okay,
Charlie,
I'm
no.
gonna say this, and this is gonna be religious, but it's like seeing Jesus on the cross, you know? It's like you follow this man.
It's like seeing that monk immolate himself, you know?
Well,
like,
yeah, exactly. Like, you see this man of peace, and then you see the things they have to go through to go to endure that peace, and it's like, oh God, the fuck, man. So they've all been taken to Genosha. They're all trapped by inhibitor collars, which is classic. Come to Genosha, get one. Get one inhibitor collar, get another free for your friend.
Yay!
So, but it turns out it only affects mutant powers, and it only affects mutant powers, and so.
Turns out Rogue's smuggling a little something-something.
Well, Simon
Genosha.
Was in her head because of the whole super, like, she absorbed all the superpower things.
Yeah.
So, because, and so she was able to break through, and my God, seeing, seeing just the concentration camps and seeing what it is, it's just, what the, that's disturbing, it is, and it's Red Skull, you know? It's something that's not,
Dude, you okay? You're losing your train of thought?
No. It's a visually horrifying thing to see.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, in a weird thing, they find Magneto, and I like how like, oh, you've come to save me. What the fuck are you talking about? We were just here. We don't give a shit about you. Like that's
sorry, not here to save you. We don't care about you.
You know, it's like, and so, like, only because he's there, they help him, and, you know, and Magneto basically is sort of, it gets into a debate between the two, it gets into a debate between the two, like, we have to save them, they're our mutants, look, dude, I know you want to help, but we're kind of outgunned here, and they're right, the Uncanny Avengers are right, they're literally outgunned, so... You know, Wanda and, you know, father-daughter politics, you know. And then, of course, comes the most terrifying Red Skull last page as he's waiting there with his S-Men and Ahab in the back, in the left of him. I believe that is Ahab.
That is Ahab.
You know, just maniacally, like, guys, Access has started. It's underway. Red Skull has made his move. Get on the fucking board now. I love this issue, and I love how shit... Things escalated very quickly. And I'm interested to see what Axis is about and what... and what Red Skull's ultimate plan is, and how the fuck does he get in the Onslaught armor, you know?
That's still a lingering question, too, how he snags that.
Considering Onslaught, I think, was a... Well, John, maybe you can correct me or not, but Onslaught is a psychic physical representation of the psychic meld of Charles Xavier and Magneto.
Okay, that's kind of convoluted to get into because, you know, it was the fucking 90s.
Yeah.
But,
oh, 90s.
Yeah, but it was the... infected psyche of Charles Xavier with Magneto's evil when he had shut him down in an event, you know, called Fatal Attractions. He had somehow got Magneto's dark side onto his psyche and it hung in the background, and that's what, and it eventually mutated and became into Onslaught and, you know, corrupting him, and it became a separate entity of his own and had basically was Magneto's evil and but with the Xavier's powers unleashed, and it was kind of a bullshit thing because I think they had too many people going, you can't have Xavier evil. So they went ahead and said, oh, well, no, he wasn't Xavier himself. It was this entity that he created. And it just kind of went there from there. But that to explain basically with why the Red Skull's got the armor. You know,
no, we'll find out. We don't know yet. We have no idea. We've only been a
He grafted Xavier's brain to his deal, and there's no more twisted suckers than a Red Skull there is. So he probably just was able to over vamp and, you know, gladly, you know, embrace the dark side, so to speak, with, you know, with the Onslaught personality. So we'll have to see, like you said.
In terms of evilness, Red Skull's up there. He doesn't joke with you. He is evil.
He's super evil.
Brian, did you like this issue as well?
It was awesome. The art aside, you know, this whole thing that went down with fucking, oh my god, this is ramping up to something huge. And this isn't even like really like, oh, this is Infinity. This is Thanos. No, this is a fucking Holocaust, people.
It makes it feel more real.
It does. It's full on. And this is the ultimate Nazi at the helm here with the powers of Charles Xavier in his brain. Doesn't scare you. I don't know what the hell will scare you, but let me tell you this. It's crazy to think that this event's revving up to this. You never think you'll see an event quite like this, but then you do. And then it's just like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm coding with humor, but I'm being serious. This is full on. There is absolutely no dancing around. This is just a Holocaust run by a Nazi against a race of people.
Yep.
It's mind-boggling, to say the least.
We're going
to
be definitely here. You guys are definitely going to be hearing about Axis over the next
few months. Yeah, Axis is going to be the hot topic around here for a little while.
Especially since this is one that you and I have been reading.
Yeah, we're personally invested in this.
All right. So, there you go. Uncanny Avengers. Hop on. This was a good issue. It kind of catches. It doesn't catch you up. You miss a lot of things. I would drop on the previous issue, but you know, I just start with Axis number 1 and Uncanny Avengers 25. Go with there. You should have already been reading the damn book to begin with, but I can't do much. So there you go. I get Uncanny Avengers number 24. And meanwhile, the only reason the event they can't even, and remember, they can't even get the Avengers because Zola is causing an invasion from his dimension, causing a diversion. So, yeah.
Yeah. It.
Oh, boy.
It's going to get crazy.
So, John, you have a speed review of Ghost Riders number 5 and number 6.
They're actually 4 and 5.
4 and 5.
I haven't read 6 yet, but and I will say this. You know, remember all the hate and shit that we gave this title when it first came out? It actually has gotten better. I will say that. Either that or I'm just so brain dead as of late on reading comics. And I'm, you know, just it's actually enjoyable. But I just finally decided to go, you know what, screw it. I caught the first 3 issues. I'm going to pick up 4 and 5, you know, kind of round out the initial storyline. And I'll be damned if I didn't get to where I like it. I mean, it's not the best title out there, but it's not the worst. And you still don't really know who this new Ghost Rider is, but, you know, kind of just know that he's wanting to help the main character kick ass and try to redo things in the neighborhood. And it was funny as if the main villain is Mr. Hyde, who has had dealings with the original Ghost Rider. And he was like, you know, you look familiar. And then he realizes that it's not the same guy. And but still, Hyde in this one was really a badass. He was the guy who created the designer drugs that have been causing everybody to get overpowered and go nuts. And this gang leader just was ODing on the drugs and becoming this, thinking he was this big badass. And Hyde comes in, you know, turns into Hyde, and he pretty much rips the guy in half, going, "Really?" And you were just like, "Oh shit!" And the gang members start going, "Oh man, shit, son, you just made a big mistake, SA," and that kind of thing. And of course, Hyde's not stupid. He has professional mercenaries working with him. They start coming out and just laying waste to everybody. And unfortunately, Ghost Rider's brother, who is handicapped and is in a wheelchair, was caught in the crossfire on a school bus. Didn't get hurt, but when his brother found out that he was in the middle of it, he just went into action. Grabbed him first and put him out of the way, and then proceeds to start trying to kick the crap out of Hyde. And at first, he's not able to. Because Hyde's like, no, you're not the same guy. And I can, you know, and you're just nothing. You're just a poor, copy. And he's just beating the crap out of him. But then, of course, you know, Ghost Rider finally digs up and uses his car. And, since the car is possessed just like Ghost Rider is, and, you know, he can use it, you know, it's an extension of himself. He runs into Hyde and manages to, you know, beat him. And, you know, so he realizes that he can use his power to help clean up the neighborhood, and not in the way of, you know, setting it all aflame, even though he was tempted to by his other side, and gets that all done. And it ends with these, you know, wannabe gangers trying to, you know, just do something, and Ghost Rider walks up, and the next thing you know, you're hearing screams and stuff like that, and they're just getting the shit kicked out of them. So East LA, or in that area, has a new protector, and y'all baddies better watch out. I will give the art still kind of throws me off. It just doesn't, but it does fit what they're trying to do for what they're doing in here, and it's not as much of a throw off as it was when I first started reading it. It's actually become one of my guilty pleasures on reading. It's like, I just check the brain out. Don't worry about it being Johnny Blaze or Daniel Ketch. It's his own separate Ghost Rider, and I'm hoping that they will at least reveal who this version is, you know, and not leave it in a storytelling limbo, because I'm not really sure how well the title is doing. And you know how Marvel now has been going, let's just throw and see what sticks, and then cancel something after so many issues, even if it does sell. I highly recommend at least reading it as a trade for the first 5 issues. It was a fun read. I give it, 3.5, out of 5. Do have some problems with it, but, you know, nothing is perfect, and it was just a good, enjoyable, fun read. And better than some of the other stuff that has been floating out there right now, But that's my deal. And I also wanted to just say that my quick reaction to Original Sin 8 was it was a disappointing ending to an otherwise really great series. I had my own personal problems with it, but that was me. But, you know, Diodato hit it out of the park with the art, and Jason Aaron did a pretty good, solid job. It kind of got predictable at the end, and some of the stuff they're setting up for here in the future, I'm just like, okay, not really looking forward to. I'm actually, believe it or not, I'm actually looking forward to seeing what the aftermath and what's going to go on with the Axis. So we'll just go with that.
Okay. let's wrap it up with Brian. Yeah.
Yeah.
You sound like you're bemused about something, Benny Boy.
Bootleg Ghost Rider 3 movie. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. So I am reviewing Edge of Spider-Verse number 2, which centers on Gwen Stacy as Spider-Woman. And they sort of give you a little bit of backstory leading into it. Gwen Stacy is your normal all-American teenager at Midtown High, who's in a band fronted by Mary Jane Watson called the Mary Janes, and she's the drummer. So, yeah, that's where we pick up. She's bitten by a spider. She goes on TV. Captain Stacy's like, oh, I can't believe she would do that. You know, all the gifts this woman has, and she's using them to get publicity and shit like that. He doesn't know it's Gwen, but that's neither here nor there. Saves Peter from being bullied. Peter, in turn, becomes a lizard because he doesn't feel special, so he creates a way for him to be special. He dies as a result. JJ uses that as catalyst to crack down on Spider-Woman, hopefully get her arrested or imprisoned or killed or what have you. And then we're into the story. So, after all that, which is really what fuels the story, Gwen sort of doesn't really know what to do with her life anymore. She's approaching the end of high school, heading towards college, and she doesn't really want to do what her father wants her to do, which is to go to school and succeed and be this, that, and the other thing, but she just loves music, and she loves being a superhero, so she's kind of caught in the middle. You know, real first world problems and things like that. But as she's saying this, she's flying around the city as Spider-Woman, and she's being hunted down by the police, as led by Gwen Stacy. And this is what I love. In order to kill two birds with one stone, as he later puts it, there is a sit-down, a meeting between two people. One is Alexei Sitsievich, who is deformed as all hell. He's not exactly in the animal suit, but he's gray and bumpy, and he's huge, and he's a bruiser. The other guy represents the Kingpin. It's Matt Murdock. Matt Murdock represents the Kingpin in this universe. He's a criminal's lawyer. So he goes to Alexei and he says Kingpin wants Stacy out of the picture. Captain Stacy, not Gwen Stacy. And they figure if they can get him out of the picture, not only will that alleviate the police putting pressure on the Kingpin's organization, but it'll help draw Spider-Woman into their organization as well, and hopefully she'll join them. So there's this big to-do about a band gig, and Gwen's running late because of her Spider-Woman-ing all over the place. Cat Stacy's there in support of his daughter, and that's when Alexei strikes. There's a huge brawl across the club, and Alexei, I love this, she actually, Gwen, suits up and goes to fight the Rhino, and he's actually shocked because he's there helping her, or so he thinks. So he's like, what gives? Why are you doing this? Although, he says it in really broken English, like a Russian immigrant fresh off the boat, which I think is kind of funny. But,
bro.
No, sadly no bro, but he keeps asking, what is the give? What is the give, lady? I am to be helping you here. Like Bulky from whatever that show was called.
Perfect Strangers.
Thank you, yeah.
You're
so he's going all Bulky, Bulky Botokamist or whatever the fuck ever on Gwen Stacy, and I love this. After she gets through saving Captain Stacy, he holds her at gunpoint and tries to arrest her. And that's when she takes off the mask, says, this is who I am, so I'm going to be for the rest of my life. I need to help people. You need to accept that. And he's just kind of like, fine, get out of here before I change my mind. You know, he lets her go. And she's watched from the shadows by another Spider-Man, who is nobody I recognize, although that's not saying a lot. I don't have the best track record when it comes to Spider-Mans. So, the funny thing is, though, she's not picked up by Otto Octavius in any way, shape, or form. She's not even drawn into, really, the whole Spider-Verse storyline. In fact, they're saying she won't return again until Amazing Spider-Man number 9, which is after the whole event finally concludes. What does that mean? Well, I don't know. But I guess the point of it is we'll be seeing more of Gwen Stacy at some point down the line. It was a solid issue. I really liked it. Written by Jason Latour and art by Robbie Rodriguez. Also, big ups to the colorist, Rico Renzi. Him and Rodriguez did a great, great job with the art on this book. It's really kind of flashy, but also kind of, it's got a I'm trying to figure out how to put it. It's sketchy without being too unfinished, and it's got a lot of colorful art to it. You know, it's very colorful. It's very that. It's very vibrant. So that was a really, really good way to lead this issue. And Jason Latour, like I said, did a solid job of writing. It's an interesting take on Gwen, not one I've ever seen before. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more of her, hopefully down the road. This issue was incredibly well. I mean, I was actually surprised by how much I liked it, considering that I don't typically like Spider-Man stuff. But it was a really, really solid read and sets up a lot of characterization and backstory in such a short amount of time that you almost don't think you missed anything, even though it's only been a single issue. So I give it a 5 out of 5, personally. It was damn near perfect. Wow. I'm honestly surprised by how much I liked this issue, but a lot of that goes towards Gwen's new characterization, as well as her costume. Her costume is kick-ass, or so I thought. And I also enjoyed the little ironic twist of Peter Parker, who wanted to be special because he didn't get that spider bite, so he becomes the Lizard, and then he ends up dying as a result. I thought that was pretty cheeky. And then J. Jonah uses Peter Parker to rally people against Spider-Woman, which I thought was fucking hilarious. Plus, you know, Gwen's a hot blonde drummer, so I really can't be faulted. in any way whatsoever.
So, okay.
Yeah, but 5 out of 5. You like Spider-Man, you'll love this issue. Pick it up. I highly recommend it.
So Gwen Stacy lives.
Yes, but Peter Parker does not.
Aw.
Yeah, it's a trade-off. Although, to be fair, I don't think they ever dated each other in that universe, so there's that. So, yeah, as long as she stays away from Norman Osborn, we'll all be good. Yeah.
Hey-o. Oh. Oh.
Curse you, Straczynski.
Yeah, it was about the only bad thing Straczynski did on that title.
Yeah, I really enjoyed his run. Okay, well, there you go. That's the show. Sorry, look. I'm gonna be honest. I was heavily distracted by Gotham tonight. I'm not even gonna lie. It's the singles competition. Look. It's Ben McKenzie as James Gordon, man. Come on, that's.
Yeah. We know you love Ben McKenzie.
Stay tuned,
folks, for the resurrection of D Cups.
You know what? I would not mind doing that, considering the Marvel pool list grows smaller and smaller. And the DC
funny, pool, as mine only grows larger and larger.
That's what she said.
The compensation. No, hey, I will say that I'm enjoying the Kool-Aid that Grant Morrison's got going right now. So,
on this one, Multiversity was so good.
But since this is a Marvel podcast, I will say that his work on the X-Men back in the day was actually fairly good for the most part.
Oh, although, hardcore X-Men fans hate that shit though.
I know, that's why I enjoy it so much. I'm in Taser in that regard. I get the evil laugh going. I mean, yeah, there were some things I was like, dude, you're smoking way too much weed. But, for the most part, I actually enjoyed what he did. I mean, it made Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men run all the more sweeter when that happened. So, but anyway.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Let us know what you thought of all the news and all the updates. Follow us on twitter.com/SquareCityPcast. For now on, if there's ever the book of the week or books, or if we know in advance what books we're going to be talking about, we're going to tweet it through the Twitter feed, so you can follow that, or it'll be pressed on Facebook, which Taser will have to handle, who's not here right now. So that may not happen right away, but if you follow us on Twitter, you can look for that. That way you can read along and you're not surprised on what came out and you don't have to guess. So.
Yep. And I will try to help my best on posting on anything on the Facebook front too, on the podcast part. If Taser can't get it, I'll try to follow up behind and grab that and put it on there. And
I won't, because I'm lazy.
Well, that's why I'm volunteering.
Too busy looking at Jensen X exo pictures.
Also, I think you said Jennifer Lawrence wrong.
No, she's receiving that RKO from Randy Orton soon.
Ah,
I still laugh at that image. I didn't look at those pictures because I don't, it's not.
But that was funny though, wasn't it?
It's just perfect image for the RKO. God damn it, yeah. Randy Orton, stop it. RKO.
Oh, and I've never seen anything in the history.
And here I am just looking at Haley Atwell waiting for her to pop up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, she's so after.
She's going to be doing Agent Carter, fool.
I know.
Like I said, I was doing a commentary with Dragon from Captain America Winter Soldier, and we both, I mean not Winter Soldier, but First Avenger, and we were talking about like she's like old school movie, old Hollywood movie actress, beautiful, like she's that
pretty. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Atwell.
She's so pretty.
She's a very beautiful woman. She is.
Yeah, so with that, ladies and gentlemen, our love for Haley Atwell, and we will all see you all for next week for episode number 180.
Woo! Hey, how do you pick up a Jewish girl with a dustpan and a brush? Ha ha ha!
Oh, brother.
Oh, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster are riding in there. Shut the fuck up, get up! Shut the fuck up, get up!